In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As Jesus was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the word of the Lord. Jericho is south of Jerusalem. It is a long, long way from Galilee, where Jesus conducted the majority of his ministry. He would come into Judea from time to time, and he visited the temple in Jerusalem for all of the feasts. But most of his ministry was conducted in the rural, podunk, agricultural or fishing villages of Galilee and those towns surrounding the sea. It's part of what makes the story of this beggar from Jericho so astounding. In Luke's gospel, he is called Bartimaeus by name. Understand his condition. He's blind. Can't see. He's a beggar, which means he has nothing. He's forced to be on the side of the road, hoping to receive some sort of sustenance from passersby. And a remarkable thing happens. He hears the commotion. It's a much larger commotion, presumably, than he has heard on the road where he sat begging at any other time. And what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And as soon as he hears who it is, he cries out, confessing him to be the Messiah. "Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they try to quiet him down, leave the prophet alone. And the more they try to shut him up, the more fervently he cries out. That's faith. The trust of the heart. It singularly laid hold of Jesus because this beggar had nothing. Nothing. He was destitute. He was totally and utterly dependent upon help from outside himself. Sometimes that condition is the best condition to be in, to come to know and to learn the love of God in Christ. And it is clear that this faith in Jesus created in that blind man's heart existed before Jesus began walking on that road and before Jesus called the man to him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" That blind beggar had been touched by the ministry of Jesus. The fact that he was blind meant that he could see none of the miracles, none of the signs that Jesus performed. But he had ears. And he had ears to hear. The apostle is correct. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. This is Luke chapter 18. In the next chapter, chapter 19, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. So it's the end of the three-year ministry. It is clear from the Gospels and from the evidence of faith in people like this blind beggar that the word of Jesus' ministry was crisscrossing the whole land of Canaan from Galilee in the north through Samaria down into Judea. They would have heard everything that Jesus was preaching, and they would have heard everything that Jesus was doing, and what he did was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We heard from Isaiah in the Old Testament. The blind will see. and the deaf will hear, and the poor will have the gospel preached to them, and the captives will be set at liberty. Therefore, as this blind man, along with so many others, living in destitution and a kind of squalor, heard of Jesus' ministry, heard of Jesus' preaching, heard of the things that Jesus was doing, it touched his heart. It not only fortified faith in him, but out of that faith, it created hope, a blessed hope that Messiah has come. Finally, all of the problems and effects of sin will be no more. And my blindness will one day come to an end, because he is the Messiah, the Son of David, and the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. I'd like to meet this fellow and hear from him what were the things that he heard. And I dare say what he heard were the messages in both word and deed of Jesus' compassion for the lost, for the lowest rungs of society, for the outcasts, for the tax collectors and sinners, for those whom, like the disciples and others that tried to prevent this poor chap from coming to Jesus, how Jesus was undeterred by any of those kinds of obstacles, but went to these people, placing his hands on lepers, forgiving iniquity and sin, telling the woman caught in adultery, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven," and telling those who picked up stones to stone her. And this happened in Judea, much closer to Jericho than the things in Galilee. He told them, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." All of these words and actions of Jesus' gospel ministry, the good news of God's love in the Messiah, are what touched this man from Jericho. And it's why he's undeterred. "Son of David, have mercy! Son of David, have mercy!" And the more they try to prevent him from coming to Jesus, the more he cries out. That's faith. A faith that is not the product of our own human reason, but a faith that is the product of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a word of mercy and compassion and grace. And even before he is healed, you see the joy of salvation in him. That's what faith does. It gives birth to joy and what St. Paul talks about in the great love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, hope. Where there is faith, the fruit of faith is hope. The blessed hope of the resurrection of the body from the dead. The blessed hope that everything that is adverse to us will one day be no more. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will be raised up, the poor will have the gospel preached to them, and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. You and I are called, through our faith in Christ, to live in that joy and confidence today. There is no Garden of Eden in this world, not anymore, but there will be in the world to come, in the new heavens and in the new earth. But by the word of the gospel of God's grace, he creates this hope and confidence in us. And it's what enables us, like this beggar, even before he was healed, to bear the cross with patience. This gospel for the Sunday before Ash Wednesday might seem odd. It seems to be in two parts. And for many, those two parts might seem unrelated. The first part, Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. This is not unrelated to the blind beggar Bartimaeus, who is healed. This is a stunning thing. The disciples had been with Jesus for over 3 years. This is the third time he predicts his passion, his willingness to suffer, that it will happen in fulfillment of the law and the prophets. But they understood none of it. The man who had been blind, Bartimaeus, is the one who, by the grace of God, saw. Even when he was blind, he saw who Jesus really was. The Son of God and the Son of David in human flesh. The man who was blind saw Jesus for who he really was. The Son of God who loved us enough that he was willing to give his life as the ultimate sacrifice to redeem the whole world from sin. In the words that Jesus tells the disciples here at the beginning of the gospel appointed for this Sunday, we see the total willingness of Jesus. The same abandon with which the blind man Bartimaeus cried out, "Son of David, have mercy," is the same reckless abandon by which Jesus went willingly into Jerusalem to face that suffering, to face that arrest, the scourging, the brutal treatment, and the ultimate death, crucifixion. And he didn't do it begrudgingly. He did it willingly. What blind Bartimaeus heard in the message of the gospel that called him to faith and gave him the hope of salvation is what Jesus fulfilled from the scriptures. And it is the love of which St. Paul speaks about in the epistle for this Sunday from 1 Corinthians 13. That 1 Corinthians 13, so often misunderstood, it has nothing to do with romantic love, which has its certain passion associated with it. But so often romantic love and the passion associated with it is not self-giving and sacrificial, but possessive and selfish. It lashes out in anger and bitterness, and it wants to be worshipped and glorified, like the man from Russia who is invading Ukraine. He knows nothing of the self-giving, sacrificial love of God in the gospel of Christ. No, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love of God. It is a description of God's nature. And ultimately, it is fulfilled in a different kind of passion. The passion of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The quintessential expression of that love is the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross, where he utterly and totally abandoned his own interests in order to save us. That's the love that touched blind Bartimaeus, who cried out to Jesus, "Son of David, have mercy." He's the one who saw. And the disciples who should have seen were the ones who were blind. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I can't know anything about God rightly. We can't know anything about the law, the Ten Commandments, about the Lord's Prayer, about the sacraments, about Christian vocation, about any doctrine in the Bible, unless we understand and come to see the truth of all of these doctrines through the lens of the cross, the manifestation of God's self-giving, sacrificial love. If after over 3 years, the disciples who heard this message in what they witnessed from Jesus' miracles and what they heard from his preaching still didn't get it, how much more do you and I need to be immersed in the scriptures and learn every day, every Sunday, every catechesis class, every time we open up the catechism, every time we cry out in our prayers what St. Paul preached. When I came among you, I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For the only hope of salvation is found in the love of God in Christ that moved Jesus to die. Resurrection comes from that sacrifice of love through which He made atonement for sin and took away the cause of death. So it is in the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins through the body broken and through the blood shed and now distributed to us in the sacrament, that to which we are joined, His death and resurrection, in our baptism, as Abigail Joe was earlier this morning. Only then can we see Jesus clearly and have the hope of salvation. This is why St. Paul says, "But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Faith is so very important. Blind Bartimaeus was brought to faith. It's the living trust of the heart that lays hold of Jesus. It is created by the message of the gospel of God's love. That faith bears the fruit of hope, the hope of resurrection and salvation, but it's love. The love of God in Christ proclaimed in the gospel and brought forth in the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus upon the cross that makes it all possible. And it is the love of God that we see in the cross. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Grant that we may see it and never close our eyes to it in the blindness of self-centeredness and pride. Grant that we may always see it. And seeing the love of God in Christ, never be afraid to cry out to Him, as Bartimaeus did, "Lord, have mercy." And He always does. You can never wear out His mercy, because His love and mercy endures forever. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.